Welcome to CBJ in 30.
I'm sure this will be a real bonding experience. Maybe one day, one of you will even write a book about it in jail.
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Now, here's your host, who has a few opinions of his own.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
Bob McGilligan.
Well, the night that Patty Murphy died is a night I'll never forget. Some of the boys got loaded drunk and they ain't got sober yet. As long as a bottle was passed around, every man was feeling gay. O'Leary came with a bagpipe, some music for to play.
That's how they showed their respect for Patty Murphy. That's how they showed their honor and their pride. They said it was a sin and a shame, and they winked at one another. And every drink in the place was full of the night Pat Murphy died.
If you ever thought it was hard to make an upbeat song about a funeral or a wake, there's the proof that it can be done. Oh, yes, the Irish will find a way to do it. Welcome to a St. Patrick's Day edition of CBJ in 30. I'm Bob McElligott. The group that does that version of the song is called Great Big Sea, and I ran across them back in my first year in Syracuse when we went to St. John's, Newfoundland, and a lot of the music sounds like that in the bars in Newfoundland, and I just know because I was walking down the street outside. But, a lot of the music sounds like that, a very big Irish influence on it, and I just fell in love with those types of songs. I mean, that's one of the traditional Irish songs that that band does. They also do some other more contemporary stuff, but still with that flair, and it's great. And as I was scouring through looking for something to play, I thought, yeah, I'm taking something from Great Big Sea because I just love those guys, and I haven't listened to them in a long time, so that gave me a chance to, that's why it took me so long to find a song, because I went and played about 20 of them listening. Oh, I haven't heard this one in a while. Oh, I haven't heard this one in a while. Oh, so there you go. That's the kind of hard work and background that goes into doing this show. Just so you know, there's a lot of background that goes into it. I go into a time warp almost every day when I sit down to select the music or to put the thoughts together on this show. I don't know why. I guess it just is who I am. Let's go into a time warp from about, 12, 15, 18 hours ago, whatever it is. Blue Jackets against the Florida Panthers last night, Nationwide Arena. What a gutsy come from behind, as I called it, I believe, find a way to win game for the Blue Jackets last night. That's exactly what they did. They just found a way to win. I thought they were good in the first period, the first part of the first period, and then the Florida Panthers got a goal. It was disallowed, and I thought, okay, well, there's the spark, and here they'll go from there. And after that goal was disallowed, the Panthers came back with a vengeance and outworked the Blue Jackets for the remainder of that period. In fact, they scored late in the period. Jonathan Marchessault, the former Blue Jacket, found himself, as I told you yesterday, he's a small guy. He's going to find himself a little space, and that's how he's going to beat you. If he does, is by just settling in somewhere on the ice, and that's what he did. Thomas Vanek takes the puck behind the net. He throws it out in front. Marchessault, I believe he got two shots. I think he got both of the shots. He definitely got the last shot because the puck went in the net. But he gets the Florida Panthers on the board, and it's a 1-0 game. And then they come out in the second period, and they're taking it to the Blue Jackets. Now, the Blue Jackets played a better game in the second period, don't get me wrong. But Florida was still controlling how things were going to go. I thought their forecheck was very good. I thought it was tough on the Blue Jackets to get out of their own end last night. They really had to work to set up the breakout. Sometimes the Panthers forced them to do nothing but make a long stretch pass, and if it connects, that's great. If it doesn't connect, then it turns into an icing call, and they were forcing the Blue Jackets to do a lot of that, I thought. But then the latter part of the second period comes, and it was deja vu all over again, wasn't it? Go back to Monday night in Philadelphia. Blue Jackets down 3-2. They need some kind of a spark. Right off the faceoff, Zach Werenski scores, makes it 3-3, and that changed the whole complexion of the game. Last night, same guy, same type of situation, although it wasn't a goal off the faceoff. It was a goal where Werenski pinches up the left wing boards, and he's a little bit beyond the half wall when he gets the puck. So here's a defenseman. He's down in an almost offensive position. He gets the puck. He looks to the net. He knows Josh Anderson is going to post up on James Reimer, the goaltender. And he just picks a spot, and he shoots the puck, and it goes in, and it makes it a 1-1 game. And that might as well have been worth five goals, in my opinion, because the Blue Jackets stood much taller after that goal. Their confidence was riding high. It was now a tie game. They were ready to go. And then late in the period, final minute of the period, I thought Jack Johnson made a tremendous play. The puck was inside of the Panthers zone. They were trying to clear it out. They had a chance to do that. They threw it up the near wall, and Jack Johnson came hustling in, gets the puck just inside the blue line, keeps the play alive. And that was key, because what wound up happening is, after a couple of passes, the puck comes back to Jack Johnson on the blue line. He blasts a slap shot in that Josh Anderson, standing in front of the goalie again, is able to just get his stick on. And it redirected the puck just enough that instead of going into the glove of James Reimer, it goes off the glove of James Reimer and winds up in the net. And now it's a 2-1 game. And then the third period, I thought, was just blood and guts. Put it all out there and find a way to grind it out. That's what the Blue Jackets did in that final period, whether it was breaking up passes, whether it was blocking shots, whether it was just keeping the puck in the other team's end, even if you weren't getting shots on goal, forcing them to play the 200-foot game, dumping it all the way down the ice, all of the little things that make the difference between winning and losing. They executed them very well, and that's why they win the game. 2-1, the final score, setting a franchise record for most home wins in a season at Nationwide Arena. They continue to extend their record of most wins in a season as a team. Sergei Bobrovsky continues his personal streak of most wins as a goaltender in one season as a Blue Jacket. Zach Werenski, he's already snapped the rookie the rookie scoring record. He broke that already. Now he picks up another goal. He's got 11 on the year. I mean, it is just a lot of good things are happening right now. A lot of really good things are happening right now for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and that was gutsy. I was really impressed by that performance, because there were times in the first period where I thought, well, here come the Florida Panthers, 6 points out of the playoffs, needing a win, desperately needing a win tonight, and they're going to do everything they can to come get it. They were confident because they had already beaten the Blue Jackets twice this year. I thought they skated with that confidence throughout most of that game. But then in the third period, the Blue Jackets just simply took it away from them. Just took their confidence, grabbed it, threw it on the floor, skated all over it, and carved it into a billion pieces. That's what they did with the confidence of the Florida Panthers, a team that left knowing they played well, but hanging their heads because their chances to gain points are running out, and there are a lot of teams that they have to climb over in order to be a part of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. Blue Jackets, with that win, move ahead of the Pittsburgh Penguins. They move into second place in the Metropolitan Division. They have a mere 1 point lead on the Penguins, who play tonight, so there's a chance that they could leapfrog the Blue Jackets again. But the Blue Jackets are now within 2 points of the top spot, with the Washington Capitals losing in overtime to Nashville last evening. So it was a great game. It was not only a great result, I mean, what happens because of the win and the move in the standings is great, but the way the Blue Jackets have now conditioned themselves to go about their business and find ways to win is what impresses me more and more as time goes on here. After the game, I had a chance to catch up with some of the key players, and one of those was the guy that scored the game-winning goal, Josh Anderson.
Just a play right to the front of the net there, and right place, right time, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think we were trying to work on that in practice the last couple of weeks, you know, just getting bodies to the net, making it hard for their goalie, and we did a good job of that tonight.
You look at this game, and they had, you know, you started well. They kind of took it over in the first period. They get the goal, and then it seemed like when Zach scored, that really was a shot in the arm you guys needed.
Yeah, it gave us a boost for sure. I think we, you know, in the first period there, it was kind of a little sloppy in the neutral zone. You know, we cleaned it up in the second period, and we just went to work.
Winning games like this, and this is starting to become kind of commonplace here, finding ways to grind these out. Does it feel like that to you, too? Is it getting, you know, getting accustomed to it in some ways?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you got teams catching us in the standings, and, you know, we got to catch a couple other teams in the standings. So I think getting down to these last 15 games, every team's going to be gunning for each other, and, you know, it's going to be a battle every night.
Speaking of 15, you put up a lot of goals this year yourself now. How happy are you with this first real chance to stay here in the NHL and what you've been able to do?
Yeah, you know, it's a privilege to play in the NHL, and, you know, you got to bring your work every night and, you know, get ready for every single game. And, you know, our line's been playing great all year.
Yeah, he's right. It has been playing well all year. I've talked about that throughout the year and then talked recently about how William Karlsson losing both of his line mates became less effective than he was. Those three guys really feed off each other so much. And when I talk about that healthy competition that the Blue Jackets have going right now, as far as if you're not one of the 12 best, you're not going to be in the lineup. I got to tell you, at this moment, as I talk to you today, right now, it is going to be extremely hard, in my opinion, for Lauri Korpikoski and Lukas Sedlak to get into the lineup. Now, once the Blue Jackets have clinched a spot, and if they're okay with their positioning in the division, if John Tortorella decides to rest guys by using different players, then I can see them getting into the lineup. But right now, how are they going to do it? How are they going to do it? You've got Wennberg, Saad, Foligno, done. Then you've got Dubinsky, Atkinson, Jenner, done. Gagne, Hartnell, Bjorkstrand, the way they've played lately, done. Now you've got Carlson, Calvert, and Anderson, a line that has been one of your most consistent all year long, and they're reunited, and it feels so good. Yeah, I had to get the peaches and herb reference in there. But they're reunited, and they're back to doing what they've done all year when they probably were the third line and now have fallen to maybe fourth line status, but they're pushing to get those third line minutes back, which late in the game last night, Hartnell's line, Hartnell, Gagne, and Bjorkstrand didn't play as much because the Blue Jackets were protecting a 2-1 lead. And if you want to do that, you roll out Carlson, Anderson, and Calvert because they've got that good two-way game. They can really lock it down on you defensively, especially Calvert and Carlson. So they got more minutes last night. So that's my point. Which one of those forwards are you going to bounce out? And I love Lukas Sedlak. I do. Lauri Korpikoski, don't know that well. I've seen him play just a couple of games. You know, quite frankly, has he come in and played so much better than anybody that was here that he should play over them? In my opinion, no, absolutely not. But they got him for depth. They didn't get him to go on the top line. They got him for depth. And so that's what his job is. And again, I love Lukas Sedlak, and I think he's had a great year, but he got the injury at the wrong time because now he's going to have to fight to get back into the lineup somewhere, somehow. But those 12 forwards, they're not locked. But they're locked as long as they play like they did last night. Let's put it that way. And Torts admitted after the game he was getting close to changing the lines. And he said, if I would have done that, I think I would have messed it up. And he's probably right. And I give him a lot of credit because many coaches would stand there and never admit that. Never admit that they thought about that. They would just, many of them would just take the credit for being so smart that their team won the game. A lot of them would, to be honest with you, and especially a lot of the younger ones. And I don't say that because of their age. I say it because John Tortorella is so secure in his job, and he's an older guy. He's been with several teams. He's won a Stanley Cup. You know, this could be his last kick at the can. Maybe he doesn't coach another team in the NHL after this one. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is that he is secure enough with himself that he can come right out and tell you without being asked, after the game, yeah, I almost changed the lines and I would have really screwed things up, and I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I had the patience. And patience is going to be the key the rest of the way here. Look at the Tampa Bay Lightning and the patience that they have had with all their injuries and how they had dipped down in the standings. And 6 weeks ago, you could have fired John Cooper as the head coach and nobody would have said anything. They would have said, oh, it's a tough break. The injuries didn't help him out. He didn't have all his players. But he couldn't get the players that he had to play well enough, so he's got to go. That would have been the narrative, and nobody would have said boo about it, I don't think. I really don't think. And, you know, then they had the Ben Bishop. Well, we got to trade him, but are we going to trade him? Are we in the playoffs? Are we not in the playoffs? But Steve Yzerman, their general manager, just patiently waited it out. What did he do? He finally trades Bishop, but now he's got and Andre Vasilevsky, who knows that job is his in goal, and he doesn't have to worry about, well, if I make a mistake, I might lose my job. He's not going to lose it, so he's playing more loose. The team is more healthy. John Cooper is still the coach, and they are vying for a playoff spot in a wild card position, okay? So that's what I'm talking about. That's just an example of patience in the game. You've got to have patience sometimes. It's hard to do, especially as a coach, because you want to change everything just to get a spark and have something happen. And sometimes what you do is you didn't realize there was a spark and you just dumped the water on it. But John Tortorella caught himself last night, didn't make the change, and his team responded in a big way. And they responded off the Zach Werenski goal. Terrific goal once again. And I caught up with Zach after the game last night and talked to him extensively about that goal.
Yeah, I think they're a team fighting for a playoff spot, so they came off without a jump. A lot of energy. We didn't match it in the first. I think as the game went on, we got better with our work ethic and just kind of our energy on the bench. And I think once we get a league one in the third, that kind of puts everyone at ease a little bit, just knowing we have to go out there and protect it. It's better to play with the lead than to play from behind. So I think Andy's goal is really big for us.
Zach, that's two games in a row that you've scored a big goal. One ties the game in Philly. The other one gets you tied here. What are you seeing when you're taking that shot from the boards like that? Is there anything in particular? Is it just Anderson going to the front of the net and you know you might have a chance?
Yeah. I knew the goalie was down. There was a lot of people there. I just tried putting one upstairs. I couldn't really see much net. Just kind of had a feel for it where I should put it. Obviously, I didn't put it there exactly. I didn't. It wasn't a snipe, but I found its way in. So.
Are you sure?
I'll say it was. Yeah,
there you go. But how big of a shot in the arm was that? Just after the way that game was going and how hard it was to play, just to get that first goal, how much of a relief was that, and how much did it spark everybody?
Yeah, I think it's huge. When you're playing down, it kind of feels as the game goes on, there's more pressure to get that goal and get that first one. And I feel like once you score that, it kind of gets the pressure off you. And then Andy scoring that one to give us a league one in the third was really big.
And then you guys just really kind of locked down defensively. I think one thing out of this game, the number of passes that you break up as a team, the number of shots you block as a team was really impressive.
Yeah, the last few games, guys have been laying out and blocking shots, and it just shows how bad we want to win right now. Bob made some key saves at key times. So I think right now our team's, I was really putting on the line for 2 points, which is good.
I love that I got him to loosen up for just a second there when he said that wasn't really a snipe. And I said, are you sure? And then he said, okay, it was. It was a snipe. He may not have meant it to be or whatever, but just that kid to be able to come up the boards, look at that situation. We're talking about doing this in a split second, by the way. Look at the situation, figure out the goaltender's down. I've got a screen there. I know I've got to shoot high, and then just fire it without thinking any more than that. Assess and fire. That's exactly what he did. So to me, it was a snipe. But when he does that, like when you can get him to loosen up and laugh just a little bit, I have seen that a lot more from him in the last couple of weeks, probably since the 5-day break. And I don't think that's a coincidence. This team has been playing well since the 5-day break. Don't get me wrong. But with him individually, I love the fact that he's becoming that loose. You know, he's so serious and he is so focused. And I feel like right now it's almost as though he's not a rookie anymore. Just in the way that he approaches things. He's not cocky. He's not feeling entitled. Nothing like that. Don't get me wrong. Nothing negative. But he's always been so quiet and so focused and so measured in his answers and just the way he's gone about things. I think he's kind of loosening up a little bit now and just embracing and enjoying. And that's what he needs to do. This is the National Hockey League. You've played against the best in the world. You've succeeded against the best in the world. And you're going to succeed again, not only this year, but next year, and the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that, and for a long time. I totally believe that. With his ability and the way he takes his ability and puts it into play, for sure. So I'm glad to see him loosen up a little, have fun. You're 19 years old, man. It's the National Hockey League, and your team is on a roll. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Have fun. He is. I love that. Absolutely love that. I would hate it if not just him, if anybody else. I would hate it if they were so uptight that they weren't enjoying the whole experience. It would be worthless. It would be absolutely worthless. Let's be honest about it, right? Enjoy this thing. Nobody expected you to be here. Maybe he did. Maybe Josh Anderson did. Maybe Oliver Bjorkstrand did. Maybe Lucas Sedlak did. They're used to winning. They're winners. They were champions last year. They are winners. So maybe they expected it. But the rest of us, did we expect this? Seriously, did we expect the Blue Jackets to be in the conversation about the President's Trophy with 2 weeks left in the regular season? If you say yes, you're lying. Come on. 27th place last year, very little in the way of roster changes, no gutting the team and bringing in others from the outside, just promoting from within. And you saw this? No, you didn't. No, I didn't. None of us did. Maybe the Blue Jackets management did. Maybe the players did. That's all that matters. If they did, great. Because they're the ones deciding it. The management decides it by the players they put on the roster. The coach decides it by the way he coaches the players on the roster. And the players on the roster decide it by the way they play the game. So if they believed it, good for them. And I'm glad they did. And I'm glad that they can make believers out of naysayers. So I hope they're all enjoying it. I really do. I know it's a business. I know it's serious. I know there's a lot on the line every night, but my goodness, it's still a game. At the end of the day, it's still a game. It's supposed to be fun. And if you're not having fun, and it's a business here too, I understand, but if you're not having fun, then what sense is it? What sense is there? How could you not enjoy something like these players are going through right now? They have to be enjoying it. Zach Werenski is. That's very obvious. Talked about Matt Calvert earlier when talking about Josh Anderson. Calvert again last night, tenacity on the puck, off the puck, whatever it takes, getting the job done. I caught up with him after the game.
You, Josh, William Karlsson, all back together, and it looks like you guys never missed a beat. And I don't know if this team knew how much they missed you until you guys were back together again. How good does it feel?
It feels great to be back. You know, I think for me personally, I felt a lot better tonight. The first one's always you never know what you're going to get. You just try to work hard. And, you know, I thought we played great as a line tonight. And, you know, when three lines ahead of you are playing that good, it's easy to follow suit.
And it is that competition, right? I mean, you got to battle. And first of all, if you're not one of the best 12, you're not in the lineup. And then if you're not one of the best lines, you don't get the ice time.
Absolutely. You know, we got a lot of guys around here, and I think we've addressed that. And, you know, it's you got to battle. You got to be competitive. And this is what makes a successful hockey team. We talked about it at the start of the year. We had a lot of young guys coming in and pushing the older guys for spots. And it creates a battle within the room, and it's a good battle. And you want to try to be the best line every night, and that's something I think we're going to try to do down the stretch.
How impressed are you with the fact that these young guys you just talked about, these 2-1 games late in the year, trying to get to the top of the division, they're unflinching?
Yeah, they obviously played in a few of these last year. You know, winning the league and everything, you get that experience, and that's a huge part of it. And you know, how we've grown as a team, I think, with these games. You know, I think you rewind 20 games. You know, we get a 2-1 lead. We'll do a good job in neutral zone, but we'll stop forechecking. I thought that's something we did great tonight. Was we stayed kind of dog on the bone on the puck, and you know, you kept forechecking them, shut them down in the neutral zone, and just went from there.
How hard was this game to play, though? Just the physical part of the game.
Yeah, it's always tough against those guys. They got a skilled group up front, and you know, they're missing their best D-man, so that was kind of something we wanted to key on, get pucks deep, get in the forecheck, and get on our cycle. So you know, there wasn't as many hits as I thought there'd be, but you know, it's always a tough game against these guys.
You know, that's a really good point that Matt Calvert made. Aaron Ekblad is the top defenseman for the Florida Panthers, and he is out of the lineup right now, so they were trying to exploit and finally were able to do it enough that they're able to win the game last night. So that's a really good point made by him. But you know, I talked to him the other day walking out of Philadelphia, and that would have been his first game back. And, you know, I asked him, you know, how it felt, and he goes, well, you know, early in the game. Remember, he had the oblique strain, which is a muscle in your side around the rib cage there. And every time you turn and you – whatever you do, it's very, very painful. I've seen baseball players get that injury. They can't throw, they can't hit, they can't do it, because anytime you have to twist the body. So obviously skating, taking a shot, all that stuff. So he said it took him a little bit early on in that Philadelphia game to kind of get back into it and get back to being himself again. But you know, he also admitted that you're watching the team play and you watch them have success and you watch the guys that they brought in, and your job's on the line. You got to get back in there and you've got to win it back, and he's done that in the last two games, without question, winning that job back, winning that ice time back for Matt Calvert. And what else would you expect? From the day this guy joined this team, this is what he has been. This is what he does. He goes out and he overachieves in many ways. He's the small guy that takes on the big guy and beats him 8 out of 10 times. And that's why we love him. Heart and soul guy, wears his heart right on his sleeve. There's never a question of how he feels or what he's thinking or how much he wants to win and how much he wants to win with this team and this group of guys. So it's good to have Matt Calvert back in the lineup. And finally, the guy that did most of the work, quite frankly, stops over 30 shots again, gets another win last night, Sergei Bobrovsky. And after the game, Dave Metzold of Fox Sports Ohio was chatting with him, and I listened in the Blue Jackets dressing room.
How does a game like that play out in terms of waiting and being patient for your opportunities?
Yeah, that's more and more games. Right now you see more of those games, and you just have to be focused and work every second.
Talk about the guys in front of you in the third period when you're trying to protect that one goal lead and how important what they were doing in front of you was.
Yeah, they were great as usual. So they blocked lots of shots. They allowed me to see the puck and boxed out the guys. So it was great. It was fun to play.
Bob, I know you want more, but this was a record for home wins tonight. You've now got 38 on your own. What does that mean to you, those numbers mean to you at this point?
Obviously, it's a great achievement, but it's a team achievement. But I'm looking forward to playoffs. It's the season going on. It's not about records. It's about be ready for playoffs. And there is the interesting game starts and then a little bit later.
Yes, finally, somebody has really come out and just said it point blank. The exciting games start a little bit later. Yes, the playoff games start a little bit later. And he wasn't discounting what they need to do between now and then, but that's where they are right now. They want to be in the best playoff position that they can be, and that's why they're battling their tails off every night. But they all can see it now. We all can see it now. All of us see it. All of us are looking at the calendar. April 9th is the last game of the regular season. And there have been many years where April 9th meant that it was over, and I would be in there on April 10th interviewing guys as they cleaned out their lockers and went off to wherever they go for the summertime. But not this year. Oh, not this year. And they've known that since Christmas time. They've known it. They've never said it. But now with 2 weeks left, now they can talk about it. Now they know they're in. What's the magic numbers like three, right? To clinch a playoff spot. Torts keeps, and I love how he keeps doing this, by the way. He did it again yesterday. Well, or 2 days ago. Well, we've got to get in first. Yeah. Okay, Torts, you were in months ago, and you know that. But I love that he doesn't talk like that. You've got to earn it. You've got to earn it all the way to the end. And that's what they are in the process of doing right now. They're going to earn it all the way to the end, but they know that they've earned it. And now they're looking forward to playing in it. They're looking forward to the records going back to 0-0 for everybody. And then trying to win 16 more games. Can you imagine that? Let's think about that. You play 82 games, and then you have to play almost another quarter season. If you played 7 games in every round, you would play another 28 games. Almost unthinkable. What a grind. What a battle. And that's why to achieve the opportunity to lift the Stanley Cup is, I think it's the hardest trophy in pro sports to attain, the toughest championship to attain because of what you have to do. Yeah, you know, baseball, you go through a couple of rounds, but it's not grueling and physical. You go through a couple of rounds in football, but you just win one game for the championship. You don't have to win a best out of seven series. But, man, just think about that. If you had to play 7 games in every round, you would play another 28 games. Crazy, right? If you do it well, you play 16 games and it's over. But that ain't going to happen. Nobody's going to sweep it all the way through. Although, again, those guys that were in Cleveland last year, they might differ in their opinion because they came close to doing that last year. So the Blue Jackets with the win, they have 96 points on the season. They sit 2 behind the Washington Capitals, who have 98. The Pittsburgh Penguins have 95. And then the New York Rangers have 90 points. That's the Metropolitan Division. Those are the top four. But, of course, the Rangers sit in a wild card spot because only the top three are guaranteed. And then the next two teams with the highest point total go into the wild card spots. Over in the Atlantic Division, Montreal is number one. They've got 86 points. They have a mere 1-point lead over Ottawa, who has 85. Boston has 82. The Bruins are surging a little bit right now. I think not only the Senators, but the Canadiens might be watching them a little bit more closely because they are surging. The second wild card spot goes to Toronto. They beat Tampa last night. That was a big game. And Tampa had a letdown after winning the night before. And that puts the Tampa Bay Lightning 1 point behind the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it knocks the New York Islanders out of the playoff picture for the moment. So Toronto 78 points, Islanders 77, Tampa 77, and then Philadelphia's got 72, and Florida has 71. What else is on the slate tonight in the National Hockey League? Well, the Panthers are back in action. They are in New York. They will take on the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. The Penguins are at home tonight to host the New Jersey Devils. And the Devils, a big win over the Flyers last evening. See if they can make it 2 in a row. The Dallas Stars are in Calgary. Flames just had their 10-game winning streak snapped. They'll look to get back on the horse there. I say that in Calgary, where they have the Calgary Stampede. Huh? Huh? I didn't even know I was that creative. It almost bypassed me. I did it and didn't even realize it almost. And the Anaheim Ducks tonight are going to be playing host to the Buffalo Sabres. That's what else is on the slate in the National Hockey League tonight. So the Blue Jackets heading off to New York. They've got 2 day games, 1 o'clock tomorrow in Brooklyn against the Islanders, 1 o'clock on Sunday in New Jersey against the Devils. Pregame coverage starts tomorrow at 12:45 on the Blue Jackets Radio Network, including the flagship station 97.1, The Fan in Columbus. You can also hear the game via the NHL app. And I understand there were some problems with that last night, but we got it straightened out, right? As soon as you guys started to let me know on Twitter there was a problem, I sent some text and some other people sent some emails and made some calls, and we got it figured out very quickly. So thank you for letting me know, because I would have no idea what's going on if it weren't for you. So you can hear tomorrow's game and Sunday's game via the NHL app. You can hear it through the TuneIn app on the Blue Jackets channel there, or you can get it at BlueJackets.com. Two afternoon games, and I thought that Jody Shelley made a very important point last night after the game when he and I were doing postgame together. He said that he likes this schedule with the afternoon games. The Blue Jackets haven't played this early all year. They played at 3 o'clock, they played at 5 o'clock, not at 1 o'clock. But as he said, when you get into the playoffs, sometimes the schedule goes like this. You might play an 8 o'clock game, then you might play a noon game, and that's because it's driven by television and when they want to air the games. So why not get used to it now? Again, regular season, experience it. Go through everything. Be ready when you get there. And that is the entire goal for your Columbus Blue Jackets. Until tomorrow, in New York, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.